Welcome to the Vet Med Wellness and Leadership Podcast, where we discuss central challenges vet med leaders face, such as burnout, stress, and difficult interactions with clients and staff, just to name a few. In each episode, you will hear about actionable solutions that you can apply to your practice and invitations to connect with fellow leaders who are passionate about improving the wellness of the vet med profession. By subscribing, liking, commenting, or sharing this podcast, you are helping more veterinary professionals find the resources shared in these episodes. Thank you in advance for listening and supporting this show. I hope you enjoy it. Okay, hello everybody, Crystal here, and I want to introduce you all to Dr. Kay. So she is currently studying to be a veterinary ophthalmologist in Florida, and she's also very passionate about exotic animal medicine. At home, she has an awesome kitty cat, as well as a few different types of reptiles, which Dr. Kay, you're going to have to tell me what they are. And we are here today to really focus on specializing in the internship process and how to advocate for yourself throughout that process to prevent burnout. So Dr. Mm-hmm. Kay, let's kick this off. First of all, what reptiles do you have at home?
So I have a Chinese water dragon that's actually a rescue that came before the cat, came before everybody else, and is now thriving and is doing great. I have a Urmastix, which I call them the bulldogs of the lizard world because they have a smushed face and they're pretty, and you know, medical term, chonky, you know, they're pretty big. And then I have a ball python that's a piebald. So it's the gene that's similar to vitiligo in humans.
Neat. Oh, I like this dynamic trio that you have. I remember when I first learned about Chinese water dragons, I'd always been attracted to, you know, a variety of lizards. And the difficulty is that some can be a bit aggressive, like with tail whipping. But the Chinese water dragon was one of those much more docile lizards that made a really sweet pet.
Yeah, I usually tell people when they're like, what is that? I'm like, oh, it's like an iguana's cousin, but it's much nicer.
Like a nice iguana, yeah. And they're darker. Yeah. They're more interesting looking, I think.
Yeah, I like, I have a male and he's got like a nice little blue coloration when he sheds, a little purple. It's very nice.
Oh, we could just geek out on reptiles all day. But unfortunately, this podcast today is about a different topic. So I appreciate you coming on today to talk about internship and specializing, because I know a lot of new graduates, they think about, you know, do I want to go on to this next stage? And there are many things to consider in this process. And since you're in it, like you're right now working through the process, you have a lot of great insights to share to help people navigate this in an intelligent and thoughtful way. So where would you like to start? I know we had mentioned like with the match process, it can start as early as that, like the questions that you ask during match.
Yeah, we can certainly start there. So the match program, when I did it, you know, it's this online website. First off, it looks intimidating because the first thing that shows up is all these deadlines. You pretty much, you know, you have to put in your personal information. You have to get transcripts, you know, same thing you kind of did with vet school. But the interview process is where you really need to kind of sit down before any interview. And ask yourself, what questions do you have? Because at the end of the day, when you rank a program and you match, because there's some kind of algorithm, I don't know the mathy stuff behind it, but there's this algorithm that, you know, if you rank high with one program and, you know, they rank you high, or, you know, vice versa, you rank it high, they rank you high, then you match. I had a few interviews, you know, I asked, you know, the stereotypical questions, what's your caseload like, you know, what's the daily life of an intern like, which, you know, they could tell you all you want, but honestly, you don't know what it's like until you're in it. Or you really should ask, hey, can I have contact information from one of the current interns? You know, because they can answer questions like, hey, where do you live? You know, what is the salary? Mm-hmm. Each program does come with like a little summary sheet. So it says salary, it says, you know, days of vacation, do we have benefits, things like that. But I think the best way to get that kind of nitty gritty stuff in terms of that, like, you know, what the life is like, is to ask an intern.
I think that's such good advice. And I'll even pause for a second just to make sure we give a little context, because people that listen are practice managers, owners, veterinarians, you know, technicians. So we're here really talking to people who are currently in vet school, or maybe they've graduated and they're considering going into specialization. And so this is a process where it's sort of like, I guess for, in my field, it would have been, you know, going at your master's, going on to the next level. So in this process, you're picking a specialty, like you picked ophthalmology, and then you are applying to programs that offer ophthalmology. You're ranking them and saying, this is my top pick, my second pick, my third pick, my fourth pick. They interview you, and they're also ranking their candidates. So of all the students that we've interviewed, who do we like? And then this algorithm works out and puts you together. And you're advising that when you're thinking about these programs, you can read what they say on their website or any pamphlet about what they're all about. You can, during the interview process, ask questions. But your main takeaway here is that to really know what's going on, you should talk to people who are in the program, because they can tell you the stuff that's not written on the pamphlet and that was not discussed in the interview.
And I mean, so this process actually starts before you pick a specialty. So you're a fourth year vet student and you're like, hey, I want to specialize in something. So once you kind of have that idea, or even internships, you know, they're known to give you about 3 to 5 years of practice, so to speak, or knowledge worth practice. So some people that do GP just do it because sometimes there's not great mentorship in general practice. So first you have to do a rotating special rotating internship. So you basically rotate through all the specialties that the hospital has to offer. It's recommended that you go to a place that does have the specialty that you're, you know, interested in, or, you know, if you're interested in, you know, doing ER, do you have a high caseload in ER? You know, of course I went to a place that did have ophthalmology, and I did not wind up working with them after the fact, just because, you know, there were other interns that were interested in opto, and, you know, the selection process is what it is. And so the other important thing to note is a lot of, especially corporate places, will pick within their, you know, corporation. So, you know, if you go to somewhere that has a cardiology internship, residency, what have you, they will tend to pick a rotating intern that they know that has worked with them.
Yeah. So they're already familiar with the person. They feel comfortable with the decision.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Good to know. And let's say that I am able to get in touch with somebody during the match process. I speak with a school or a program, and they put me in contact with a couple of students. What should I ask those students to get the real scoop?
I mean, honestly, one of the questions that I should have asked was, you know, which rotations are the hardest? What is your quality of life? Because I actually did ask the practice manager that question, and they were like, oh, it's great. It's great. You know, they don't tell you that, you know, they don't tell you that you're working 7 days a week, late hours. You know, they just assume that you kind of know that because, you know, an internship is hard. You're an intern. You know, you don't get paid much, but you do a ton of the work. You know, unfortunately, how the world works. But I would definitely ask about that. I would definitely ask, you know, do you have time for yourself, or how do you carve time for yourself, considering the high stress of all the different specialties? You know, you have to know how each one runs and things like that. You know, are you able to go home, you know, for holidays, weekends, you know? And of course, it's different for, you know, if somebody lives in, you know, Arizona and their internship is in Arizona, that's, you know, different. You know, what fun things are there to do out there? You know, are there breweries out there? Is there hiking out there? You know, because you want to know, of course, about the program, but you also want to know you're able to be well-rounded. The other thing is, how do they handle mental health at your internship?
Girl, you're speaking my language. I'm getting hot. I'm excited about this topic, right? What a great question.
Yeah, because, I mean, in vet school, there's vet students, even when I was in vet school, that, you know, have anxiety and depression. And so, you know, you really, that, to me, that's a very important thing is, you know, I was in vet school, I was part of a wellness committee. I tried to make sure students had resources, you know, if they couldn't get it from the school, you know, where could they get it from? Mm-hmm. And I think that's important that an internship has resources and says, hey, you know, especially corporate, you know, hey, we have this person on staff that you can talk to, right. Or, hey, you know, if you can't get in contact with that person, there's outside sources that, you know, take our insurance. Things of that nature. You know, does the internship offer, you know, checkups or, you know, wellness check-ins, things like that, you know, with your mentor, you know, also does the program have a good mentorship? That's also another question, not to kind of bounce back and forth, but, the mental health thing for me is very important, because of how plagued we are with suicide in our profession.
Right. So I was just on a call before you and I got on. We were talking about the exact same thing, that what is going on in this profession that the suicide rate is so incredibly high? And let's work together to turn that around. So mental health services are really critical. And I think that what I like that I'm seeing is that there's more and more acceptance of discussing this, just like we would discuss if you broke your arm and you're like, well, I can't do any restraints right now. I can't hold an animal. Great. Like, let's give you the services you need to adapt while you're healing. And now we're thinking about it the same way when it comes to, say, depression or anxiety or any other mental health challenges, right, that we just need to add some extra support in to work through that. And especially in these professions that are high stress, you know, there's a lot of intensity to this type of profession. Having good mental wellness practices help ensure the longevity of you being able to stay in this profession and enjoy the work. Because what you do is so important. So I love that you bring that in, that that's a question to really ask in the early stages of the internship period to find out, what are your mental wellness services? How are they provided? And to really understand the details of that, because I have seen, not necessarily in the internship portion, but just within companies, they'll say, oh, we have these benefits. But when you really look into it, not really. Yeah. Nothing substantial, or they're hard to get. It's difficult to engage with, or maybe it's just something canned, like some video content, but real services where you're engaging with mental health providers. So just, you know, gauge the degree. So to keep us back on track, is there anything else you want to add to that part of it when people are trying to really sort out whether or not their program has the type of resources that will truly be helpful?
I think kind of a way to, you know, weed out which program is best for you is if the person actually does have, you know, hey, we use this person and they have a name, you know, because somebody could say, oh yeah, we have stuff. Don't worry about it. We have stuff. You know, or say, hey, if I can't get in touch with this person, what outside sources? And they have, I hate to say it like this, but they have physical evidence and proof that yes, this is available to you.
Yeah.
And yes, we have, you have the time to go out of your way to pursue those things.
Excellent.
Because time is a big thing.
Right. For sure. So important. So there's actually permission to address this part of your health and make that part of your program.
Right.
Yeah, solid. Okay, let's keep going. Another aspect was around that you had mentioned previously when we talked offline about making sure the internship will truly support you. Can you say more about what you mean by that? How can you just find out in that program and how it will actually support you?
So a big thing, again, is to talking to current interns and discussing mentorship. You know, I had a mentor during my internship that, I mean, she advocated for me like crazy, you know, when I was having issues with clinicians. I have a disability, so she was advocating for me with that, you know, because of course people are going to ask questions, why do you get this? Why do you get that? You know, and again, side note, I've dealt with that my whole life, but, you know, just that's definitely really, really important. And just kind of making sure that your intern mates even support you. You know, you may not know, I didn't know any of my intern mates You know, we had a couple of get-togethers, which was really great because we got to kind of really support each other. You know, because you all have to remember, you're all going through the same thing.
Mm-hmm. You know? Looking for a cohort where people feel like you're in it together, you're a team together, rather than isolated silos or competing with each other.
Exactly, because there's too much competition, and you know, you've already competed to get into vet school. You've already competed to get this internship. Yeah, if you want to specialize, yeah, sure, there's competition, but you know, you really have to look at it as like, hey, you want to do opto? I want to do opto. Let's figure out how to do it together. And that one of my current intern mates from my rotating, actually, I got her an opto internship. And you know, we text all the time about cases. You know, she says, hey, why don't we once a month we'll do rounds together and we'll talk about cases. You know, like that kind of support is really nice to have.
Oh, so good. So buddy up with people, share cases, make that kind of a friendship and alliance together so you can help each other grow. And you said, you know, seek out mentorship. What do you look for in a really good mentor? What has worked well for you?
So somebody, you know, that you can sit down and talk to honestly about anything. You know, if you're like, hey, I'm having an issue with this clinician, what do you recommend? Because again, you know, you're going to work in an environment with different people, different personalities, you know, so this person may say, hey, I've worked in this hospital with this person, this is how this person is, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Definitely someone that's a really good teacher for sure. You know, somebody that you're willing to go to and say, hey, these are my issues I have. How can we work through them? You know, do I have to read more articles? Do I have to sit home and practice suturing? You know, what do I have to do to become a better clinician? Yep. So the teaching for me is very, very important, you know, and just being personable. Because if you're not personable, then it's kind of like, I don't want to go to, you know, you for anything because I'm scared, or, you know, specials can sometimes be intimidating. So
yeah,
it's nice when they're like, no, I'm a person.
Yeah, I'm a person. I've been in your shoes. I remember what it was like. I'm here to help you. Yeah. So you want to feel like you have a good rapport. You feel comfortable with the person. You can go to them and bounce ideas off of them and ask for their mentorship on how to handle these things, because they may have been in your shoes and know some ways of working through this you haven't considered yet.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay. How do you advocate for yourself? So let's say somebody, maybe they're already in an internship. And they're listening to this and they're thinking, uh-oh, I didn't do the vetting process. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. Yeah. And I've landed myself into an internship where I don't feel very supported. Like, I feel like I need some help. I'm feeling pretty anxious on the floor. I feel afraid that I'm going to fail. I can tell that I'm getting a little bit burned out. Maybe I have some special needs, but I'm afraid to speak up because I'm afraid people will judge me. Mm-hmm. I'm very afraid. That's the main feeling, the anxiety. How do I start advocating for myself despite having this fear?
Yeah. And I definitely experienced that during my internship. Honestly, through almost all of it, I will say that. And then, you know, we all kind of just, you know, there was about 12 of us. We all just kind of came together and were like, listen, this is not okay. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not paying us for being called in the middle of the night for emergency. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not supporting us mentally, because we've had, you know, some of my intern mates, someone was Baker acted, someone needed a wellness check, you know, and we had interns quit. And when you have them quit, then there's pressure on us that are still there, you know, to pick up the slack, which is, you know, it's terrifying. And, you know, there was a time where, I worked 21 days in a row, and I got to a point where I went and I was on a surgery rotation. It was around the holidays, so you have to do regular ER shifts and holiday ER shifts. And I was at a point where I wasn't sleeping because I was doing surgery till 10 o'clock at night. I have limited night vision, so I was like, I had to stay at a hotel, which thank goodness they paid for, because I was like, I make an intern salary, you know, how can I afford that? Mm-hmm. But I got to a point where I was just like, I went up to the doctor and I was like, hey, listen, like, you know, of course in tears, having, you know, a little bit of, you know, emotional, cause you're tired. I was like, I need to take some time because I'm not safe for my patients, cause I'm not sleeping, you know, and I'm not safe driving. So I'm not safe, you know, for myself. And thankfully he was very understanding, but the whole 21 days, I was terrified. I was terrified to say something because there's that culture of, well, I was an intern once. I didn't have days off. I worked all this time. So I think that the older generations really need to kind of put that out of their brain. We need to get rid of that culture. And I think that as an intern class, you guys really need to come together and speak up. And you know what? And like, if they kind of brush you off the first time, keep bringing it up. Because that is what we did.
Yes. I'm laughing because I had a meeting this morning with one of my clients, who is a technician in a hospital. And I was saying something very similar to her, that if you're having a problem on the technician level that you need your practice manager to address, and they say, well, I've already told her once, I emailed her and she didn't email me back. Yeah, that's okay. Guess what? Keep talking like every other day, be the woodpecker, peck, peck, peck. Peck, peck, peck. Because lots of times what happens is it's just that the person you're trying to communicate with is also overburdened and stressed out. And it's not that they don't care. It's not that they don't want to address the issue. It's that they have this whole list of priorities and they don't know where to fit it in. So by being the squeaky wheel or playing the woodpecker and just making your desires known repeatedly, eventually you'll get through to somebody. So having, and also in a group format, like you said, you know, get together with your other intern buddies, you know, come together in a group, advocate for yourself in a group as well, if you can, that both those strategies, but just being consistent and not giving up.
Yeah. I mean, so what my program did was we had doctor evaluation meetings and intern evaluation meetings once a month. So when they had their intern evaluation meeting, we had our doctor evaluation meeting, which basically was, how are we all doing in the program? And it was just us. It was very private. It was just us. And we had one intern that we elected as the liaison, that, you know, would write a letter to management and say, hey, you know, not like saying like, oh, these are our demands, but it was like, hey, you know, these are some of our concerns. And at first, you know, we felt kind of bad for him because people kind of saw him as a pot stirrer, saw him as, you know, just trying to aggravate people. And we're like, no, these are our concerns. He's doing the right thing. And, you know, it took us backing him and us backing each other, you know, to say, hey, this is enough. Or you yourself are going to come to a point where you say, this is enough. I mean, I had medical stuff during my internship and people would be like, why are you going to the doctor? Like, why are you? And I was like, one, that's none of your business. Two, I need to go to the doctor. Because it got to a point where, oh, in the beginning, it was like, you can't schedule doctor appointments, you have to work. And I'm like, no, no, this is my health. Like, absolutely not. And vet school, it's kind of the same thing. They expect you to study. They expect you to work hard. I had a teacher telling me, you chose to be here. And I had to have surgery in vet school. And, you know, a couple days later, I showed up and I would have to take half days. And some professors were understanding and some literally said to me, you have to be here. So I think, again, it's the culture of you're a vet, you have to work hard, you have to work all these hours. And I think that if you guys, you know, going back to, you know, how do you stand up for yourself? I think you have to find a way to stand up for yourself as you, but you also have a bunch of people that are going through the same thing. You know, maybe in different aspects, but they're going through the same thing and you all have to collectively speak up, because sometimes you speaking up about, hey, you know, I think it's wrong that we don't get paid for X, Y, and Z things, but the other 12 intern mates have no voice about it. You know, that kind of looks a little disarray.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's also helpful to think about the why behind your advocacy. So I noticed that, you know, there was a shift in human medicine where, you know, interns would have to work, you know, these very long, like all night, all day shifts. And what was occurring were accidents with patients. So making that public and actually having the statistics to show that medical professionals that are not well rested perform more medical errors. And that helped change the policy to ensure that they're getting more rest, that their shifts are actually reasonable so that they can perform adequately at their job. So that's another thing is, like, as a student and an intern, you're there to learn and grow and perfect your performance. So if you feel like you're really at a point where your mental health is suffering or physically you're suffering so much that you're not able to learn, that your performance is going down, that you're putting patients at risk, you absolutely have to speak up, because that's counter to the entire reason that you are in this position.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the unexpected hard things about internship you did not see coming?
So I kind of saw some of it coming, but not really. But one of the big things for me was on call. As someone that has anxiety, on call is not for me. especially when you're on call for the weekends, because you're pretty much on call all day. And you rotate with the other people that are on surgery rotation, or when you're on elective, you're on ER on call. And I mean, they can call you at any point. There could be a surgery at 3 a.m. And depending on what time you get out, some people are like, hey, like, go get some sleep, come back at noon, you know, things like that. But some people are like, nope, you gotta be here. And I'm like, oh, okay. That was definitely a hard thing to deal with. Another hard thing for me was switching my schedule when I would have to do overnight ER for a couple weeks and then going back to a daytime rotation. That was definitely difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I mean, I go to sleep, like, even in vet school, I went to sleep at 9 o'clock, whether I had a test and I knew the information, I didn't know the information, I went to sleep. Because sleep is very important to me. The other thing I did not expect to not, so I understood that I wasn't going to have a lot of free time, but I mean, you really don't have free time.
Yeah.
Like, that to me was terrifying, that I would work, come home, maybe watch a TV show or two. But you really have to come home. You have to read articles. You have to read up on the cases that, you know, from the next day, because they expect you to know about the cases for, you know, each day. So that was really challenging, to really sit down with myself and force myself to have time for myself, which, I mean, I learned that, of course, months into it. Because you burn out so quick if you don't have time for yourself, and you're there 7 days a week, because you got to be there to check in on patients, because the specialist, you know, uses you to check in on patients, and you're calling patients on the weekends, and you're doing all these things. So that was definitely difficult. Another thing that was really difficult, because I was the era of COVID, was communicating with clients. You know, we went from not really communicating with them to, like, towards the end of my internship, we kind of let them back in the room. So that was a little intimidating, because, you know, talking to them on the phone or talking to them outside their car, you know, that's fine. But you also have to remain confident in what you say, because over the phone, they can tell, you know, hey, you don't know what you're talking about. Another thing that I'm actually still facing now is that people's connotation of the word intern is very poor, which surprised me, because, I mean, people watch Grey's Anatomy and they're like, oh, Meredith Grey's a doctor, you know, when she was an intern. It got to the point where people didn't want us to see their pets, and because they're like, oh, you're just an intern. Mm-hmm. So they had to change on our little ID badges, you know, associate veterinarians. Even the internship I'm in now that I absolutely love, clients are like, I don't want the intern touching my dog. And he's like, you know, she's a doctor. It's Dr. K. She's a doctor. And like, so now, even, you know, with surgeries, because I do a lot of anesthesia monitoring, you know, and I've done ER for so long, I'm like, tell them that. Tell them, hey, she's certified to do CPR, which I am. She's, you know, certified to do anesthesia. She's done ER, you know, so, you know, she has to be in the room in case something happens.
Wow. Yeah. That's a really good point to bring up, to be prepared for that, the stigma that goes with the internship label. Yeah.
Yeah.
So our final talking point today was around the importance of health and wellness, as well as, like, your social and family life and support. Can you speak more to that and how you have built that into your internship? Because I think what I've heard from you is that in the beginning, it's sort of like this learning phase of like, oh my gosh, there's so much and it's overwhelming. And how do I manage my schedule and my time? And then you come up with creative solutions to fit in like family and support and your own health and wellness. So tell us more about that.
So what I started doing was self-care Sunday, and I had a self-care budget fund. And I would do something, whether it was like go to the movies, get your nails done, get your hair done, just something to make you feel honestly like a person. Mm-hmm. You know, one of my favorite things to do is like taking a bubble bath, lighting some candles, listening to music. And I also actually love to bake. And it's funny because now my current internship is a specialty one. So I don't want to say it's not as difficult. It's a little more easier to navigate, but I make sure I have time to do things like that. Like I always bring baked goods to the clinic.
I'm coming over.
I'm like, I can't eat all these, you know, things. Like we have one technician who's a beekeeper, and she gave me some of her honey, and I baked like honey cakes, you know? Yeah, no, they love it, you know? But I think, you know, going back to when you're doing a rotating internship, you do have that learning and adjustment period, but you can't let that kind of deter you from making time for yourself. You really, from the start, you have to say, I have doctor appointments I have to attend. You know, when you come home from work and your intern mates, if they want to talk about work, say, hey, we're not talking about work. Even when we used to go out as an intern class, or if me and my friends went out, even in vet school, we were like, no vet school talk. If you talk anything about animals, veterinary medicine, take a drink. You know, so it was kind of, I had to sit down with myself really and just be like, you cannot continue to live like this. You need time to just decompress. Mm-hmm. You know, even if it was you're not working on a weekend, and I like hiking, all those things. So, there was a really nice kayaking spot. You could kayak and you'd see manatees. And I'm like, you know what? If I want to do that for an hour, I'm going to set a time and do that for an hour. And then, you know, during my internship, even during vet school, I would have a day where I didn't study. I didn't touch anything vet medicine. Mm-hmm. So stuff like that. Sometimes in terms of like your friends and your family, you know, again, having your intern mates over, if you want to talk about how a stressful day, you know, you had, you can do that, but make something fun out of it, because everybody wants to vent. The hard part for me was my family is very far away. So integrating that was also very difficult. You know, the few times they could visit, you know, cause they work in, you know, with public schools and things like that. Both my parents are actually clinical psychologists. So exactly. So just trying to figure out and navigate, hey, you know, when can we come visit? And I'm like, listen, I don't know. I have to find out what rotation is like the least amount of work. Or, you know, sometimes setting boundaries and saying, hey, listen, you know, this rotation is really stressful for me. Don't text me during work. Don't call me during work. Unless it's an emergency, obviously. Or, hey, I'll call you after work. I'll call you. I did a lot of phone calls to family and friends on the drive home. Mm-hmm. Because by the time I got home, I was like, I don't have the emotional and mental capacity to talk to people, especially when you have, you know, around the holidays, a lot of ERs, it's a lot of euthanasia. So like, you know, you have to really, like, I had to really sit down with myself and like reflect on that a lot, because it's really difficult to deal with. You know, you may only have seen this patient for a few hours, but it still is a terrible feeling. And eventually I kind of come to terms with it and say, hey, this is what's best for the animal. You're doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. But family wise, you know, depending on where your family is, it can be difficult to communicate with them. I also found it challenging, you know, to even if I wanted to talk about my day with family, you don't really know, like I said before, you don't really know unless you're in it. So they could say they understand, but it's like, you know, in the back of your head, you're like, no, you don't, you know. Right. You can try to be I have friends, you know, that I can talk about vet stuff with that are not in the vet field. And then I have friends I could talk that I don't talk about it with, because one, it grosses them out, or it's depressing, you know, things like that. So, but you need to carve out when you have vacation time. If you want to like visit friends and family, you can certainly do that. But sometimes people use their vacation time, honestly, to visit for residencies and stuff like that. So it's kind of, you need to have a really good work-life balance, which, you know, the takeaway message is it's really hard.
Yeah. And, you know, I would say to people too, get used to that, because vet med is hard. They should call vet med hard. It is. Even once you're out of internship, it'll be a different kind of hard. Yep. Being a parent is hard. Being a human can be hard. It's just about knowing yourself well. I think the big theme for a lot of what we talked about today is checking in with yourself. Like, you have that honest conversation with yourself and find a way to communicate what it is you're looking for and what you need, and to be the architect of your life. I really enjoy working with young doctors around, there are so many of these skills that I feel like we should be taught in like middle school that we aren't taught. And so I end up teaching people these things usually, you know, in early adulthood that really help get through these difficult times, because believe it or not, you're incredibly resilient and you can withstand so much challenge if you have the right tool set within you. So that can be like distress tolerance skills. You know, what are your coping strategies? Everybody's a little different with what works for them. So helping people discover the coping strategies will be most effective for them, their style and their style of advocacy. How do they like to speak up? What do they really need? And then one of the biggest takeaways I want to say for today before we start bringing it to a close is support. So much of what I heard from you today is how you're doing this with other people, with your cohort, you know, communicating with friends and family, having a mentor. The biggest mistake I see people make is isolation. Do not think that you should do this on your own. Do not think there is something wrong with you and that you should hide any of this. You're just a human having a human experience. So I think for, you know, the takeaway today of Dr. K is, you know, do this together with other people, advocate for yourself, investigate this process of internship, know what you're getting yourself into, and try to really be strategic and thoughtful about how you go through the process to really ensure that you are healthy and well throughout it. Because if you're not, you're not going to be able to serve the animals that you're really here to take care of.
Right.
Yeah. Are there any other key takeaway messages you want to leave our audience with today? And also, I think it'd be good for them to know how they could reach out to you. If they're like, hey, you are this, you know, person that's been in this experience. I want to know more about the internship period and just to get a little mentorship from you. Include that too, about how they could find you and any key takeaway messages that you want to zero in on.
Yeah, for sure. I'm totally happy to mentor anybody that wants to reach out. My contact information is my first and last name, 94@gmail.com. I currently work at the Animal Eye Clinic over in Jacksonville. But I check my email all the time, you know, being a millennial and everything. So
should I put your LinkedIn profile on there too? Is that a good way to find you?
Yeah, you can certainly do that too. I check that all the time.
Great. I'll include both.
Yeah, because I'm always happy. I was a mentor in vet school, and I just love helping people navigate through things to make it easier for them, because it's like, hey, I've been through it, instead of the people that are kind of like, yeah, I've been through it. You have to be through it too. And I'm the opposite. I'm like, hey, how can we make this better for you so you don't have to go through it? Mm-hmm. A couple takeaways I would say is internships are daunting. You know, you're going to hear internship horror stories. It's the nature of being an intern. But make sure it is for you, especially if you want to go into GP, because you don't have to do this if you want to go into GP. This is mainly for people that want to specialize. And if you realize it's not for you while you're in it, that's okay. Like I said, I've had intern mates quit and some of them are super happy. I mean, I have one friend out in Philadelphia and she wanted to do exotic medicine. She's seen cats, dogs, and exotics, you know, and she's really good at what she does. I actually call her all the time about my own pets. And then the other thing is, you know, we as a profession really have to get past the stigma of I went through this, you have to go through it too. I think a big part that people don't talk about in terms of suicide in veterinary medicine is how we actually treat each other, how we treat our technicians, our other support staff, you know, practice managers, how specialty vets even treat referring veterinarians, you know, or how they're super, you know, how my specialty doctors treat interns. You know, I had somebody tell me, we thought you were going to quit. And I was like, nope, this is what I want to do. I'll go through whatever I have to go through to get where I got to go. You know, and so I think we as a profession have to be nicer to each other. But I also think that we have to educate the public on veterinarians as, yes, I'm a real doctor. I'm not in it for the money. Because if I was in it for the money, you know, I wouldn't be in an enormous amount of debt. you know, an intern is a doctor. You know, we're just because we're a new grad, you know, doesn't mean we're not qualified. I mean, sometimes new grads, you're fresh out of vet school, you remember things that GPs don't.
Same thing with the human med. We say have the same exact conversations that there are, you know, pros to having a greener doctor. They're fresh out of school. They know the newest cutting edge technology. They're really on top of the research. They're just, their heads are being filled with so much of the newer information. Right. So that can be really helpful. And they also have a real eye for detail and not making mistakes. They've not become complacent. Right. So I think that's a good point that you're driving home. It sounds like one of the takeaways you're making here would be just trying to educate people about the reality of veterinary medicine and how to start slowly chipping away at the old paradigm.
Yeah, because I think, like I said, I think that a lot of people contribute the suicide to, you know, our clients are so mean and things like that. And yeah, you get a mean client every now and again, but you learn how to navigate that situation. Mm-hmm. Yes, compassion fatigue is a thing, you know, but again, you learn how to navigate that by telling yourself, you know, this is the right decision for a pet. You know, I take comfort in knowing that we can take away suffering because we can't really do that in human medicine. So that kind of what gets me through the compassion fatigue. And I think, like I said, we as a community need to be nicer to each other. We need to help each other. You know, if I know somebody that wants a cardio residency and I know a cardiologist, I'm going to say, hey, here's this information. You know, we have to network, but we also have to be nice to each other. You know, I think that's definitely a big problem that we're having in vet medicine, especially the specialty in referring veterinarian.
Yes. Right. I think that's a perfect point to end on, is because that's really part of the genesis of this podcast, is to help connect people with resources. So those of you listening today, if you feel like, hey, I feel kind of alone in this and I'd like to have somebody on my team, well, here she is. Call Dr. K, email Dr. K. She's clearly somebody who cares about people. She wants to relieve the suffering of not only animals, but of people too. And I really appreciate your perspective on this and how you're practicing what you preach, and you put a lot of energy into making things better. I really appreciate you being on today.
Yeah, anytime.
All right, Dr. K, we'll be back. I'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Bye. Thank you for joining me today. I hope that you feel stoked after listening to this episode. And as always, I would love to hear your comments and feedback. Is there a topic that you want to know more about? Please let me know. And thank you again for subscribing and sharing your favorite episodes with others. It really means a lot.